This is Kathy bringing you the commercial news from the Vermilion County area for Saturday and Sunday, the February 14th and 15th edition. And the big headline says, Mall Auction Ends. The Danville Village Mall has sold for $1.25 million through an online auction. Hunter Rupp with Encore Real Estate Investment Services said they are now under contract and expect to close within 45 to 60 days. Originally, the auction was to be held in January, but Rupp said there were some things that caused delays. What ended up happening was we were not able to get all the documents and everything in order at that time. He said, we pushed it back a couple of weeks to make sure we had everything ready to go for the auction, so that auction never went through. On the day of the auction, February 10th, Rupp said there were around 8 people registered to bid on the 281,606 square foot retail spot. As far as the future of the mall, Rupp said the new owner gets to decide. The buyer can put in some contingencies in it, but it's pretty formatted to be very direct and straightforward, Rupp said. Once you own the property, you're free to really whatever you want. Rupp said there are leases in place, though, so any major changes would mean changing those. They would have to work with those tenants and figure out how they want to handle those leases moving forward, Rupp said. The new owner is free to really go about doing whatever they want with the mall. However, Rupp says he gets the vibe from local leaders that they want it to stay a mall. I know after speaking with some of the public officials there in town that they're more than excited to see somebody come in here and really make some changes to revive this mall to the glory days, he said. And Rupp said there are ways to bring the mall back. There are a few different versions of malls that have been successful in being reinvigorated or tenants coming back to it, Rupp said. I know for this one specifically, I can say that the current owner actually did receive a good amount of letters of interest in those spaces that they have vacant there. Two tenants, Bath & Body Works and Dunham Sports, closed stores in the mall earlier this year. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. spoke about the behind-the-scenes discussion with locals about the mall auction in late December. Local developers we spoke with wanted to keep all existing businesses and plan to expand both shopping and entertainment options, so it's our prayer that one of them won, said Williams. We have been working behind the scenes to ensure the future success of this facility and will continue to do so. One more time, bill to regulate homeowners insurance rates could reemerge this session from Peter Hancock. Illinois lawmakers are poised to make a second attempt at passing a bill that would give state regulators more authority to control the rising cost of homeowners insurance. Governor J.B. Pritzker called for the legislation last summer after Bloomington-based State Farm Insurance announced it was raising premiums in Illinois an average 27.2%, citing years of losses in its property casualty line of coverage due to weather-related disasters in the state. A bill to give the Illinois Department of Insurance authority to approve or reject insurance rate increases passed the Senate during last fall's veto session. But when it returned to the House for a vote to concur with changes the Senate had made, the amended bill fell 4 votes short of the 60 needed for passage. That left many to believe the bill had died. The following day, however, the bill's chief House sponsor, Representative Robin Gable, Democrat of Evanston, refiled a motion to concur, which is allowed under House rules. And Pritzker has said since the end of the veto session that he still wants the legislation to pass. They get a second bite at the apple, Kevin Martin, executive director of the Illinois Insurance Association, said in an interview. Gable told Capital News Illinois through a spokesperson this week that no decision has been made about calling the bill for a second vote. But Martin said people in the industry have heard the bill could be called as early as Tuesday when the House and Senate return to the State House to begin the 2020 legislative session in earnest. The controversy over State Farm's rate hike last year raised attention to the fact that Illinois stands out among states for having exceptionally weak regulations over the insurance industry. Advocates for the legislation argue that every state in the nation except Illinois has a law that prohibits insurance companies from charging inadequate, excessive, or unfairly discriminatory premiums, and other states' insurance regulators have authority to review and modify proposed rate increases. Illinois, however, is known in the insurance industry as a use-and-file state, meaning companies can raise their rates at any time and immediately put them into effect before filing the new rate schedule with state regulators. The Illinois Department of Insurance has authority to license companies and agents to do business in the state. It also has the authority to make sure insurance products sold in Illinois comply with state laws and that companies honor the terms of their policies. but it has no other authority to review or approve the rates they charge. Douglas Heller, Director of Insurance for the Washington-based Consumer Federation of America, described Illinois' law last year as among the most toothless in the nation. In the wake of State Farm's rate increase last year, Pritzker suggested the company was trying to shift the cost of disaster-related losses in other states like California and Florida onto the backs of Illinois consumers, and he said legislation was needed to prevent that practice from happening in Illinois. As states across the country face even more extreme weather than we do, we need to make sure that Illinois homeowners are not paying for losses that companies experience in other states, Pritzker said in an op-ed column published in the Chicago Tribune that was co-signed by House Speaker Emanuel Chris Welsh and Senate President Don Harmon. State Farm officials firmly denied that allegation, and Martin insisted no insurance companies in Illinois engage in that practice. We have never seen anything like that, and we would argue very strongly that does not happen and cannot happen based on the actuarial data that the companies have to provide in Illinois on Illinois losses, he said. Proposed changes. Pritzker's call for new legislation to regulate homeowners' insurance rates led to intense negotiations between the governor's office, legislative leaders, and the insurance industry. But the final language was not unveiled until the final hours of the fall veto session. The language was put into a Senate amendment to House Bill 3799. It included language prohibiting excessive, inadequate, or unfairly discriminatory rates. It also called for banning the practice of cost shifting by requiring companies to use state-specific loss data to develop their rates whenever possible. The bill also would leave in place the state's use-and-file method of setting rates, meaning companies would not have to seek advance clearance from state regulators before implementing rate changes, but it would require them to give consumers at least 60 days' notice before raising rates by 10% or more. The major sticking point for the insurance industry, however, was the provision giving the Department of Insurance authority to review and approve or modify rates after they are put in place. Under the proposed language, if the agency found a company's rates to be excessive, inadequate, or unfairly discriminatory, it would send the company a notice specifying the agency's objections. Companies then would be allowed to defend their rates at an administrative hearing. But after that hearing, if the agency still believed the rates violated standards of the law, it would be authorized to order the company to rebate excess charges back to the customers. According to Martin, the industry's main objection to that language was that there was no limit on how far back in time the agency could look at its rate review process. They could go back forever, he said. We just believe that in all of the negotiations that we had, for them to come in at this last minute with this type of language of the changes that they made was just something that we thought was really unfair, Martin said. The House and Senate have each been in session a few days this year, mainly to introduce new bills and to pass a few resolutions. But the work of the session will begin in earnest this coming week, starting Tuesday when both chambers will meet and begin holding committee hearings. Pritzker is scheduled to deliver his annual budget and State of the State address to a joint session of the General Assembly on Wednesday. Rankin Solar Farm Project Moves Forward by Christy Janowski. A solar project in Vermilion County near Rankin continues to move forward. Board approval of the landscape screening and vegetation management plan, as well as the building permit application of 4200 North Solar 1, LLC, moves the solar project near Rankin further along. The proposal is the pollinator-friendly site, which is very common with these community solar projects, Dustin Squires, project manager for EPC Contracting, said. And then also there is a vegetative screening plan that will provide vegetative buffer around the project. They've already improved a decommissioning agreement that requires them to provide 100% of the decommissioning cost at the building permit stage. They posted that bond to the county that was received today, which was last Wednesday. That decommissioning agreement and financial insurance requires 100% of that to be posted before the approval, which is beyond what the state statute requires. County Board Member Jerry Hawker thanked him for working on the decommissioning agreement. Hawker said Squires did an excellent job making sure that we get 100% or whatever they decommission it. It's very important, makes the vote easier for solar. Squires said they are currently looking for subcontractors and hope to start on the project by the end of March, with completion slated for the end of the year. Equipment and materials are already on order. and should arrive in April or May for the 5-megawatt site that will be housed on 21 acres. And this front page article, Unconscious Driver Car Catches on Fire Saved, by Christy Janowski. With seconds on the line, first responder training kicks into high gear, saving a life. Now, two local first responders are being honored for their life-saving efforts that took place last year. The vehicle had struck a tree, and when we got there, there were two deputies already on the scene. Joe Blue, a paramedic for Carl Arrow Ambulance, recalled about a fiery accident about a year ago. The driver was in the vehicle and unconscious. The doors were jammed shut. He was trapped. And within seconds, Blue said the situation turned deadly. The car caught on fire, and the flames started spreading around and through the car, he said. In all, four people aided in saving a stranger's life after a crash ended in a car catching fire on Grape Creek Road in rural Danville. Two paramedics and two deputies with the Vermilion County Sheriff's Office responded to the accident. The deputy broke the window out, Blue said. Adam Harris, the first responder, retrieved a couple of fire extinguishers from our ambulance. He was fighting the flames back with that, and we basically were grabbing him, trying to pull him out of the car, because we couldn't get the doors open. Blue said they were able to get the window to break. We're trying to pull him out through the driver's window, but his feet were trapped underneath. I think they were probably caught around the brake pedal, and that's where he was stuck, he said, adding, they were eventually able to free the man. He got pulled out of the driver's side of the car and away from it just before the entire car flashed over and was on fire. The car flashed over and it was almost engulfed in a matter of minutes, said Harris. Without the quick reactions of officers and first responders, the outcome could have been very grim. Instead, the man walked away with very minor injuries. If the deputies hadn't been there, or if Adam and I had not arrived on the scene, if we had been delayed a few more minutes, what ended up being a save could have ended up being a tragedy, because he'd have been trapped in the car and would have probably died. This is the highest acuity call I've had working for Arrow, said Harris. Blue and Harris were honored for their life-saving efforts by the American Red Cross with certificates of extraordinary personal action and American Red Cross National Life-Saving Award on February 9th. Joe Blue and Adam Harris went above and beyond the call of duty to rescue this patient, Justice Stalter, director of Carl Arrow Ambulance Service, said. Their passion, clinical excellence, and compassion exemplify the values of Arrow Ambulance. We're incredibly grateful to count them as members of our team and proud of the recognition they are receiving from the Illinois Red Cross. Lynn Huruska, Red Cross Executive Director, said their response showcased their bravery, compassion, and willingness to step up and help those in need. Blue joined the ambulance service in 2021, while Harris joined in 2022. Blue previously served as a police officer. And there are pictures in here of the two men receiving their awards. Horizon Health and Health Foundation scholarship applications are now available. Paris. Horizon Health and Horizon Health Foundation are offering scholarships to local students to further their education in the medical field. These healthcare scholarships are available for the 2026-27 school year. The Horizon Health Foundation is offering the following scholarships: Dr. Leland Phipps Memorial Scholarship. The $1,000 scholarship is awarded to a Horizon Health employee to further his or her education in the healthcare field. This may be awarded as two $500 scholarships or one $1,000 scholarship, depending on the applicant's needs. Dr. Phipps was a pioneer in the evolution of Paris Community Hospital Family Medical Center and the cornerstone of its medical staff. He passed away suddenly on May 27, 2017. His legacy was honored in 2022 with the opening of the Paris Clinic expansion, which includes the Phipps Center for Primary Care, a dedicated space for primary care providers. EMT Basic Certification Scholarships. Two full scholarships will be awarded to cover the cost of an upcoming EMT Basic Certification course. Scholarships are available to persons 21 years old or older who reside within Horizon Health's primary service area. The scholarships cover the cost of all course materials, including a student workbook, polo shirt, drug screening and background check, and the first exam attempt through the National Registry. These scholarships were generously established by the Horizon Health Foundation Board. Nursing Foundation Scholarships. Horizon Health's Department of Nursing is offering two $500 scholarships to applicants who are currently enrolled in or have been accepted into a nursing program. The scholarships are funded through various sources, including the annual Nursing Twilight Walk, honoring all community nurses, the Nursing Honor Guard program, and private donations. The Frey McKnight Community Leadership Scholarship. This $1,000 scholarship is established by Dr. Marilyn Frey in honor of her late husband, Michael Frey, and his family, including Raymond and Virginia McKnight Frey, Alfonso and Nancy Trimble Frey, Ruth and Marie Frey, and Dr. Roy and Bertha McKnight. Michael Frey was a passionate advocate for justice, integrity, and equality, deeply committed to his family, community, and friends. Embodying the same spirit, Dr. Frey champions the principles of community service and giving back, both through her professional endeavors in psychology and her personal commitments to philanthropy. This scholarship aims to support individuals who are dedicated to these values and motivated to make a positive impact in their communities. The PCH volunteers are offering the following scholarships. A $1,500 scholarship available to any Edgar County High School graduating senior. A $1,500 scholarship available to any full-time or part-time Horizon Health employee. The Don Ackland Memorial Scholarship. Unlike previous years, this scholarship will be administered by the Community Foundation of East Central Illinois. Two graduating seniors from Paris Cooperative High School will each receive a $500 scholarship. Applications will be accepted between February 16th and March 25th. The Community Foundation will provide additional details, including a link to the application to high school staff. The scholarships will be awarded to outstanding seniors who exemplify the character traits of the late Dr. James Ackland, including scholastic ability, participation in athletics, and a strong character. Don Ackland was a lifelong Paris resident and served as a family physician at Paris Community Hospital for 34 years. He was an avid athlete, coach, and devoted supporter of Paris High School athletics. How to apply for any of these? Applications can be completed online at myhorizonhealth.org/scholarships and must be received by the end of business Wednesday, April 1st. For more information, contact Michelle Wilkin at 217-466-4277 or M. Wilkin, that's M-W-I-L-K-E-N, at myhorizonhealth.org. And a couple of obituaries for the area. Megan Nicole Arnold. Megan Nicole Arnold, 36, a lifelong resident of Danville, Illinois, passed away at 8:40 a.m. Wednesday, February 11th, 2026, at her home. She was witty and liked to tease and be teased by her family and friends. Cremation rites will be accorded. A visitation will be held at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Wednesday, February 18th, at Northside Church of Christ, 17167 East 2750 North Road in Bismarck, Illinois. The memorial service will follow the visitation and begin at 1 p.m. at the church, with Mike Roebling officiating. Burial will be held at Johnson Cemetery in Danville. Memorials may be made in Megan's name to Make-A-Wish Foundation, Northside Church of Christ, 17167 East 2750 North Road in Bismarck, Illinois. David Ray Weaver. David Ray Weaver, 76, of Catlin, passed away at 3:46 p.m. on February 9, 2026 at Memorial Hospital Shiloh in Shiloh, Illinois. A celebration of life will be held at 10 a.m. on Tuesday, February 17th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, 3940 North Vermilion Street. David Hastings and Dalton Weaver will co-officiate. Burial will be in Oak Ridge Cemetery in Catlin, Illinois. Visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. on Monday, February 16th at the funeral home. Valentine's Day Gathering Highlights Love for Democracy by Christy Jankowski. The group Indivisible Vermilion County will demonstrate a love for democracy by using the right of the First Amendment on the Day of Love by hosting a gathering from 4 to 5 p.m. at the corner of Vermilion and Main Streets. This comes just 2 days following students from District 118 holding a protest against the actions of ICE in Minneapolis and Chicago. On a day celebrating and highlighting love, we want to express our love for our democracy and just how imperative it is to protect it during this administration's reign, organizers said in a media release. Our community understands that safeguarding democratic values requires vigilance, unity, and a willingness to speak out. The gathering is open to anyone in the public. And the group says they will also be expressing solidarity with those Minneapolis. Community members in Minneapolis have raised concerns about the agency's conduct, including allegations of unlawful use of force and harm against civilians, they said. Indivisible Vermilion County stands with those calling for available accountability and humane treatment of all people. And some local sports news. Danville finds victory in senior night defeat by Marvin Holman. Even though the end of the Danville girls basketball home final wasn't ideal, the start of the game was. In Thursday's senior night game against Monticello, five seniors were honored with one finally getting on the court. Players Anna Haupt, Gabby Huerta, La Jalorian Stewart, and Lindsay Porter, as well as the team manager, Renaya Grubbs, were honored before the game, which the Sages were able to win 51-44. We had five girls that played, and we had a manager in Renaya Grubbs, who has been an asset to the program this year with her level of commitment and making sure things were done in a timely fashion, Danville head coach Glennie Watson said. Jalorian Stewart was a junior that didn't play, and she came out this year. She started a couple of games and came off the bench. She was a great asset with her energy, toughness, and positive attitude she brought to the team. Anna and Gabby are four-year varsity players. They are great, fine young ladies. I have coached some good girls in the program, but they epitomize what the program stands for. They are solid academically, and Anna has a scholarship for ISU for tennis, and Gabby has a scholarship academically at UIC, so the program and the parents should be proud. They are a treat to coach. Porter has been out all season with an ACL tear she suffered in flag football, but she was able to get on the court and score the first 2 points of the game. It was obviously a very special moment for me. Being surrounded by the team felt really good, Porter said. I felt all of the love. It is very unfortunate it was the first and last points I scored in the game, but I am grateful to have the opportunity to do that, and I can't thank my team enough for how supportive they have been. It's been very tough. There were tough games where I wish I could be out there with my friends and teammates, but I am glad to be their biggest cheerleader on the sideline. That's what it's about. We wanted to win the game, but those moments there are moments that she will never forget, Watson said. To be able to get on the floor for senior night, score a basket, and get some nice gifts, have mom, dad, and grandma in the crowd, it did more for her than it did for me, and it made me feel really great to be able to do it as a program. After Porter's basket, the other seniors added 6 more points, with Huerta getting 5 and Haupt getting 1. Both have been teammates for far longer than high school. I think we went through every level together, Haupt said. We started out as freshmen surrounded by seniors, so it was special but sad to be seniors in this position playing with the freshmen that we love. It was a special moment to be on the other side of it, and most of our teammates, we've played with them for 3 years, so this is a passing of the torch to them. So we are glad to see them step up today. As of right now, losing the game is what I'm thinking about. But when I see Anna, I'm just happy to see her progress, Huerta said. We have played together since we were 9 years old, so to see her adapt to all of those things and be strong emotionally with her surgery and playing tennis and still be in basketball, even though it's not her main sport. Just seeing her progress through the years has been great. It's going to be heartwarming to see Jada Bell, Ashanti Conaway, and Audrina Burns carry the legacy that we passed down to them. Bell had 24 points for the Lady Vikings, while Burns had 10. Even with the score not favoring them, Watson said the effort the team put in was among the best all season. I can say the girls fought to the end tonight. They gave me everything they got, Watson said. We executed and we had shots that we wanted. I love that when I can draw something and run it. Whether they get the shot or not, that let me know they are locked in and trying to do the right thing. With the regular season over, the Lady Vikings will focus on Tuesday's IHSA Class 3A regional game on the road against Bloomington. I will go back and watch the film and see what they have done well, Watson said. We had our whole team with Ashanti there in the first game, so that will be a void we have to fill. But the girls and I are up for the challenge. We played them at their home floor before and won, so we don't have a problem doing it again. I think it will show our improvement and their improvement, so I think it will be exciting and nerve-wracking, Haupt said. It's a bittersweet moment because it could be our last game, but I'm confident in us, and I think if we work together and use our skills to our advantage, it should be great. It's another opportunity for a regional final, so we have to prepare ourselves the right way, Huerta said. We have to make sure that we are prepared mentally first so we have our heads in the game and to be fully confident as a team. Sparking a sweep, DAC wins series with Parkland, Marvin Holman. The Danville Area Community College men's basketball team has needed a spark to get through the last part of the season. A win over their main rival on Wednesday night might have done the trick. The Jaguars were able to hold off the Cobras for a 75-67 win at Mary Miller Gym to sweep the season series. We needed that win, head coach Dewan Guard said. We hit that period of time where we weren't playing our best basketball. We were not making shots. The guys' legs were tired from the grind. We needed guys to come out to make shots and be hungry. Defense was the key for the Jaguars as stops turned into baskets for their top shooters like Deshaun Clark, Elijah Stark, and Blake Reed. All three players combined for 9 3-pointers. Defense makes offense, and as long as you play defense, the shots will come, Clark said. We've been putting a lot of overtime in the gym after practice and before practice to put up as many shots as we can so we can be ready every game to knock down the open shots we need to knock down. Our team is based off of defensive play. We can get defensive stops, and that opens up our offense, Guard said. Getting a couple of stops can get us in transition for a dunk or a wide-open three, and that opens things up. Our defense is where we hang our hats, and that's what we want to do every single day. Clark had 16 points to lead the Jaguars, while Stark and Danzel Anatoi each had 11 points. Jeremy Wilson had 10, Jeremiah Panawaz had 8 points, and Reed had 6 points. Deshaun is one of the guys, along with Blake, that when they make shots for us, we are difficult to beat. It keeps the defense honest, and they were both making shots, Guard said. Jeremiah is our spark plug, and when he comes off the bench, he gets us in the right direction with his defense and his ability to make plays for others. It opens it up for Deshaun and Blake to get some easy baskets. Danzel has been huge all conference and protects us in the paint. He has had a couple of double-doubles lately, and he gives us stability in the paint. After taking a 39-32 halftime lead, the Jaguars had to hold on early in the second half as the Cobras were able to tie things up. But 2 missed free throws by Jaden Martin cost Parkland as the Jaguars regained the lead and kept it. Parkland is a good basketball team. They didn't make a run. They were playing their style of basketball, and you have to understand that that is going to happen, Guard said. This is a rivalry game, and they are one of the top teams in the country. They are going to come out firing and try to make it difficult to get the win. I told them we have to win the first 5 minutes of the second. They, Parkland, were able to win the first 3.5 minutes of the second, but we settled in and we played our style of basketball. While the Jaguars are happy to have swept the Cobras, Guard is pleased about getting the win. My thought process is that I want to win them all, Guard said. Parkland is a rivalry game, and we do want to win those, but we want to win all of them. It is more important because of how things are in the conference. This helps us way more in the conference standings than the rivalry stuff. It's a great accomplishment taking it game by game with them. If we can keep playing defense, we can play with everyone in the conference, Clark said. If we stay aggressive with our 100% effort, we can match up with anyone. It's easy to stop anyone if everyone is giving a 100% effort. The Jaguars will be back in action today against John Wood Community College, and Guard knows it will be an important run the next 2 weeks. It's going to be a grind. Our league has 3 teams that are in the top 25 and 1 that was in the top 25, Guard said. It's going to be a grind, and we have to stay sharp and not let this be our high. We have to stay level-headed and work hard and practice hard every day. And just a short note, Danville legend Dean March passes away by Marvin Holman. When he was growing up, Justin March always had a family member that he was able to look up to when it came to football. That family member was his uncle Dean March, who was a star on the early 1970s Viking football teams and would go on to success at the University of Illinois, where he was named captain of the 1975 and 76 Illini teams. Dean March passed away on Thursday, leaving a standard that many followed at Danville, including his nephew. And that's all we have time for today. I hope you had interesting listening for the news in the Danville, Vermilion County area. This is Kathy wishing you a great day.